From Delray Beach, Florida, welcome to Life Change Weekend with Dr. Dino Padrone. Hear the stories of individuals who, through their conversion experiences, books written, ministry served, special truths from Scripture, or trips taken, tell their story. These stories and teachings are life-changing. So thank you for joining us, and get set for some life change. Here is your host, Dr. Dino Padrone.
Welcome into Life Change Weekend, and thank you very much, Aaron, for that beautiful introduction. We're glad that you're all listening into the program today. It is our blessings on Saturday to hear from various people. Some people recently we've had on were drug addicts that God has changed their life. We had some people on recently that wrote books. And last week, those of you who are listening to us, we had Pastor Bob Kadlicek on, who usually goes through some of the Bible with us. And last week and this week, we're having him tell his story of what God is doing with his church in Montrose, Pennsylvania, a town of, a little over, was it 1,000 people? Is that right, Bob? Something like that. And you've got most of them coming to your church, I think.
Well, yeah, it's interesting how so many people, it's probably one out of every 20 people in the county, come to the church, or at least used to, and kind of are aware of things. But yeah, it's neat what God's been doing here. And I was thinking, I left my home church after 34 years, 9 years as a pastor, to come here. And I think it's the reasons I left, I've come to realize, is really there's two questions you need to ask when you're wondering whether you should leave your church or not. And I think they are, number one, where can I grow the most? Now, if you're a mature believer, you can grow anywhere that God's word is clearly taught. I hear a lot from people, they're not preaching the meat. I'll have people come to my church and tell me, it's South New Milford, they're not preaching the meat of the word. And I'm like, are you kidding me? They're just as meaty as we are. They open God's word, they teach it, they explain it. But if you're a mature believer, you can grow almost anywhere. But the second question, I think, is more important for most people about where should I go to church, and that is, where can you serve God most effectively? And that's why I left First Baptist to come to Bridgewater, because I realized, I could serve God in a different place, in a different position of leadership. And so that's why I left. And I think that's a really good question for others to ask themselves as well, if they're thinking, well, maybe I should leave my church. And I would say, leaving your church, the tie, unlike baseball, the tie does not go to the runner. I think if there's a tie and all things are kind of, I'm 50% think I should go, 50% I should stay, you should definitely stay, because ministry is relationships, and that takes time. And so it's better. And you know what? Even when relationships are hurt and broken, God much would rather that we restore a relationship than we would run from it somewhere else. And there are toxic ministries, and there are times when, things are completely unbiblical and we should leave. And you know what? When people leave, I was just at South New Milford Baptist Church, is another church in our area, and it's a great Bible teaching church. I recommend it to others. And I was there almost a year ago on a Sunday night and saw, several people that used to come to our church. And you know what? It wasn't awkward. I wasn't hurt. They weren't either. I went up to them and, it's great to see you, because they're a part of a church that's really teaching God's word and trying to disciple people. And this is good. We shouldn't take it personal when someone leaves the church you're in. I've heard this, where people they'll stop talking to friends, and we just really need to to embrace the community of believers that is goes beyond our walls and beyond our church. Now, there are bad churches that don't teach God's word, but if they are, then it's a win no matter who's going to it.
Let's talk here a minute, Bob, about, again, this program goes to various parts of our world right now. There's people in Africa that are listening, and we support some of those pastors in Africa and so forth. You've made it very clear last week and again this week about the importance of relationships. So let's move beyond that. What are some things that you feel are really, that you have learned these last years that you've been in the ministry that will help a church to develop, to help a church to go on to, different heights and so forth? It's one thing to talk about numerical growth, but what's happening within the church? Let's talk a little bit here about maybe two or three things that you can think of beyond relationships that would help a pastor with his church, to help a person see his church become more mature, more biblically disciplined, church growth. Give us two or three thoughts here, if you could.
Well, our mission is, I think, the mission of not just every church, but every believer. And it's given by Jesus Christ in Matthew 28:19. And he says that we're to go and make disciples, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the command is to make disciples. And then there's a lot of people know this, but there's three participles in there that tell us how to make disciples. And the first one is going, the second one is baptizing, and the third one is teaching them to obey. And so I think that's one of the biggest keys, is that we need to focus on our mission. I've heard people say things like, we need to do everything short of sin to reach lost people for Christ. And I think that is sometimes a debated sentence, and people are like, wow, that sounds like wrong. But I think what is more clear, and not, I don't think anyone would debate, is we need to do anything short of sin to obey God. Mm-hmm. And that brings into focus the idea that my traditions, and I have traditions, I have things that I like better. I would prefer, and this gets into another subject, I think good leaders care about very little. They care about a few really important things. And so I remember years ago, I wanted hymns with electric guitar behind it and kind of like ramped up, kind of like exciting reimagined hymns. And our music leader, I just frustrated him at the time, because, and I realized, I need to not get in the weeds with, what kind of songs, as long as they're not doctrinally unsound or bad theology songs. I need to let the song people who have the responsibility to lead, give them the authority to do that. And so a lot of things are like that. But the discipleship thing is, we need to go, we need to baptize, and we need to teach them to obey. And so we've summarized that by saying we're making more and better disciples, or more and better followers of Jesus Christ. That's not just our mission as a church at Bridgewater Baptist in Montrose, Pennsylvania, but that's the mission of every church. And it's not just the mission of every church, it's the mission of every single believer. And here's the secret that lots of people don't want to acknowledge. And that is, if you make better disciples, you don't have to worry about the more. But if you're not making more disciples over a long period of time, and I talked the last program about how we went 9 months without anyone getting saved when we opened a new congregation in Halstead. Over a long period of time, if you don't see any fruit or any growth or anyone getting saved, then you really need to question and say, are we making better disciples? Because better disciples are people in love with Jesus, who love people, and that's attractional, and that changes people's lives. God says his word is not going to return empty, but it will accomplish what it sets out to do. And so I think people who are truly dedicated to following Jesus, better disciples, we'll see more disciples. And when you don't see more, there's been times in our church leadership meetings where we just say, you know what? No one has gotten saved in like weeks. We need to start praying and begging God that he would move, and that, and you know, are we talking to people? Are we meeting with people? Are we doing what God would want us to do as leaders, and just having an urgency about obeying God? You know, he doesn't say teaching them to recite everything I've commanded. You know, you need to go out and teach other, you know, followers of Jesus to be really good and trivial pursuit about everything I've commanded. No, he says, teach them to obey. And so some of those basic habits of the Christian life, I think that's where it's at. Are you reading the Bible? Are you praying? Are you having spiritual conversations with other believers on a regular basis? Are you having spiritual conversations with people who aren't believers on a regular basis? Are you asking them questions and listening to what other people believe, and, you know, building relationships? And I just heard this statistic, and it was for the last year, and it compared 2015. It said 13% of pastors thought that their churches were doing well with evangelism. So that was 2015, quite a while ago. Last year, it said that 1% of pastors, it was a LifeWay research study, 1% of pastors felt like their churches were doing good in evangelism. That's not just a lack of evangelism, that's a lack of discipleship. And so I think if you want to see God use you, you don't have to be a pastor to do this. Like, you need to just get back to the basics of, what did Jesus do? What did his disciples do? What does it look like? What are the habits? And am I actually obeying everything that was commanded? Even if it's something that, you know, it might mean giving up something that's very dear to me and something that I love, but it's not something God loves.
Yeah, that's really, really good advice, Bob. You're listening into Life Change Weekend. This is Dino Bedrone chatting with you, with my good friend, Pastor Bob Kedlicek with the Bridgewater Ministries. And we are delighted you're listening again. And for those in the Stuart area, Stuart, Florida area, we just started last Friday, in fact. The broadcast on Fox News in the area, the preacher's kid and the pastor, we're having a great time with that, looking at a number of issues throughout that community. And so please join us. It's on WSTU and the affiliate stations that are involved with that. And we'd love to have you be a part of that. You gave some good advice there, Pastor Bob. I guess, you know, when you talk about the Great Commission, again, we have this program that goes to places where it may not be as Bible-centered as what your church is, or as what others would like. And so when it speaks about baptism, what are you talking about there with baptism? It says, go teach, baptize. So what does that mean?
Obviously, lots of people have been baptized. And the word literally means immersed. There's a different word for sprinkle. There's a different word for to dip. But we are commanded to baptize. And it's interesting that that's a command not just given to pastors, but it's given to everyone. Everyone is to go. Everyone is to baptize. And everyone is to teach them to obey. Now, that might be a mom teaching her kids to obey. You know, that might be a single man, you know, just with his friends and talking about God's word in a small group together. But that baptizing is something that I think is commanded to the entire church as well. So at our church, and this is, again, not my tradition. And at first, when I heard it, I wasn't comfortable with it. The pastor always baptizes everybody. Like, that's just the way it is. But we have since said, who has had the biggest spiritual impact in your life? And if that person has been baptized after accepting Christ as their Savior and Lord, then that person can baptize you. If they are living right with God and have accepted Christ as their Savior and Lord, then we allow those to baptize others. And that has been so amazing and wonderful because it's helped people catch that vision of, oh, this is something, this isn't just for the professionals, the guy that gets up and speaks. Like, this is something we can all be a part of. We can all teach. We can all baptize. We can all go. And so there was a teenage girl who got saved at camp, came home and said, Mom, Dad, we need to go to church. And so they started going to church with her. And her stepmom accepted Christ as her Savior. And she said, I want my teenage stepdaughter to baptize me because she had the biggest spiritual impact in my life. The change in her from when before she was saved to after just really startled me. And then she was constantly encouraging me to go to church and to read my Bible. And it was just an amazing thing to see that. And that's happened over and over and over again. You know, a dad baptizing his, you know, son or daughter, and just seeing God just use people in that way has been a huge beneficial thing. And we wait until kids are in third grade at least before we baptize them, and there's nothing magical about that. Some people baptize, you know, kids when they're 5 or 6, but the Bible seems to be clear that it's something you do after you accept Jesus as your Savior and Lord or forgiver and leader. And so a number of people have been baptized twice because they were baptized by their parents who were kind of dedicating them to the Lord and hoping that when they got older, that they would make a decision to follow Jesus Christ. And we tell people, this is not a repudiation of that. This is not a slap in the face of your parents and telling them that they did it wrong. This is a fulfillment of their hopes and dreams for you when they baptized you as a baby, that now as an adult or now as a child who understands the gospel, you're going public with your faith yourself. So that's what baptism is, going public with your faith, but it's super important. In fact, I think I need to say this. It is tied to salvation so closely in the Bible. Many people think that baptism saves you, and it doesn't save you. But if you have surrendered your life to Jesus, why wouldn't you get baptized? Like, I can't think of hardly any good excuse. Like, I've baptized people who had to put earplugs because they couldn't get, you know, water in their ears because of infection. Baptized people who couldn't go backwards because of their equilibrium and they would be nauseous. And so people who couldn't walk being baptized, people who, you know, had terrible self-consciousness about their body image or who were scared of crowds or, you know, none of those are good excuses to not be baptized. The only excuse I've heard that sounded definitely legitimate for why someone wouldn't be baptized was the thief on the cross, because he was on the cross for only a couple hours after he was saved and had no opportunity to be baptized. That's the only biblical illustration. And I could see someone in a hospital, you know, has no opportunity to be baptized, never, you know, accepts Christ, but never got out of the hospital. Certainly that person would be in heaven. But I just can't, with people who say, I'm a follower of Jesus, I just don't want to get baptized. That's scary to me, or it's, you know, I got some physical problems, or I don't want people to look at me, or I don't think they're following Jesus. Like, how could you say, I'm totally surrendered, Jesus is my Lord, and then not obey him in something that really isn't even painful? So baptism is important, and I think getting lots of people involved in that as mentors and leaders in the church has been very, very helpful in our church.
Just give me a quick answer on this one, Bob. What percentage of the people that baptize in your church, if you have this number, are non-pastoral people? Now, how many baptisms do you have percentage-wise with lay people doing it?
Yeah, I don't know, but I know it's the majority.
Okay, that's
so
what, yeah.
Most of them are not the pastors baptizing. And one of the good things about that too is, I don't know, several times I've talked to someone in our church and say, hey, have you been baptized? And they'll say, yeah, you baptized me. And so I've done so many, like, it's not, I can't remember them all. And it's not as, and we don't do spontaneous baptisms. Some churches do, but because we want to really make sure these are people that understand the gospel. They're following Jesus. So, you know, we had 116 baptisms last year, but all of them were interviewed. All of them had to go through a class where we explained the gospel and kind of made sure they knew what it means to follow Jesus. And so, yeah, it's so encouraging to the congregation. The other thing we have people do, and again, this isn't in the Bible, this is just something we've thought is helpful, is we have everyone who gets baptized has to write out their story, a summary of how God saved them or how God has been working in their life recently. And those are so powerful. Like that, they're better than a sermon. And the great thing about it is everybody's different. And so we'll have one guy getting baptized and he'll say, you know, I've been in and out of jail 10 times in the last 10 years. And his daughter's up there that he doesn't have custody of, and she's crying, and he's crying, and he's been coming to church now for 9 months, and he's gotten his life straightened out, and he's not drinking anymore. And some people relate to that, and they're like, that's me. Maybe Jesus is for me. And then we'll have an 80-year-old moral man up there who worked hard all his life, and he'll say, you know what? My wife died of cancer, and I got mad at God, and I've been moral and a hard worker all my life, but I've never given my life over to Jesus until recently.
Those are beautiful testimonies, Bob. Beautiful. Our time is running short here. Very, very quickly, Bob, if you would, I know you've launched a multi-site church. You've gone from 2,000 to 1,400. You have about 1 minute on this. Tell us what that is and make it quick because our time is just about out.
So that's the most exciting thing that I think has happened in the last 10 years. We took two of our campuses, Conklin and Vestal, live preaching in all of our campuses. And we said, you know what, you need to be your own church with your own budget, your own leadership team. And so Northbridge Church started January 1st of 2025. And so that was super exciting. And the reason we did that is I've seen churches send off individual churches before, and almost always they're sterile and they don't reproduce. And our hope is that as we send off two congregations together that are part of one church in two places, that they will be more likely to multiply and continue. And that, in fact, that's why we're doing it, because we can only start about one new location every year, and that's not fast enough. Jesus Christ was coming back. We got to do as much as we can. And so if they can start one every other year, we can start one every year. That's a 50% greater growth of God's kingdom. And so that we're excited about that happening. And God
thank
using
you, Bob.
Northbridge Church.
Yeah, thank you. That's a great story. I was thinking, as you shared that with me prior to the program, when I was in Florida pastoring a great church there, it was a city church, but we had two Spanish churches we started, and then we helped start a Colombian church. They used our cafeteria. Today, they run 4,000, and the two Spanish churches have, I think, 700 between them. And there was another church that combined with them, and that is a great way to grow a church. And thank you for sharing that, Bob. And it brought back a great memory of my ministry down in Miami, how God used that way. We're so glad you've been listening again. This is Life Change Weekend. This is Dina Padron chatting with you. We've been delighted to have Pastor Bob Catlisacon with us today, giving us a tremendous amount of insight about churches that are growing today in his ministry there at Montrose, Pennsylvania. God has greatly blessed that. Thank you so much, Bob, for your sharing today. And don't forget, Monday through Friday, our regular Bible study. The next Saturday, of course, we continue on with these wonderful stories of what God is doing in people's lives with Life Change Weekend. And that's what we all need, is life change, because it's of Christ.
You have been listening to Life Change Weekend. Life Change is brought to you through the International Dino Padron Ministry, which includes radio, television, live stream programming, podcasts, literature, online education, the support of Indigenous ministries, and progressive approaches to help people grow their faith. To receive our complimentary monthly newsletter, send your postal or email address to dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. That's dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. Stay tuned to our weekday Bible study, Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be with you next week on Life Change Weekend.